Hey, it's Jerry. The Midwest peace process is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And we never know who's going to approach our table when we're on location, but sometimes the resulting discussion is interesting. During our taping of episode 69, we had the mayor of a local municipality here in St. Louis sit down with us, and he agreed to let us interview him. So here's a bonus episode for our faithful listeners. Enjoy.
10:20 and they close at 11, so.
All right.
This is good. I'm so sick of hearing what you guys have to say. Usual stuff. I'm glad we got Gino on the spot.
All right, here we go. So we are joined by Mayor Gino Salvati of Pasadena Hills, Missouri. And we've talked on the show in the past about education and I guess how it I'm speaking as a homeschooler, so I'm kind of anti-public education. We've covered this in some depth in past episodes, but Gino is actually involved in a story that's been going on for months now here in St. Louis, which has to do with a couple of school districts that have lost their accreditation, that have lost funding, and we were just talking to him about where they are right now as far as funding and where this whole thing is going to go. So I don't know, Gino, do you have any thoughts on that you want to throw in?
Well, I'll be the first to admit there's a lot I don't know about what's going on in the Normandy School District. My city is a part of the Normandy School District. There's 24 municipalities that are part of the Normandy School District, and our city is one. It's a very interesting relationship that our city has with the Normandy School District, because most families in my city do not send their kids to public schools because of the performance and the reputation of the Normandy School District.
Yeah.
So it's something that affects all of us in the city. It affects our rates of resale of our properties, our property valuations. It's something that affects that affects us directly as far as our taxes go as well. Lately, some news that's come down is that the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, which is also known as DESE in our state, has decided to kind of change up. Originally, they supported a $5 million a bill that would give $5 million to the Normandy School District to cover their bills and to make them solvent through the end of the year. But this week, Ms. Nicastro, who represents DESE, appeared before the Senate committee and came to support a much lower funding level. So she decided to support a $1.5 million funding level for the Normandy School District, which has got everybody kind of scratching their heads in my area, because having originally supported the $5 million funding level, I think everybody is kind of trying to understand where she's coming from with now supporting a lower funding level and what the end goal is. So it's one of those things that I don't think anybody really fully understands.
Yeah.
From our area and anywhere else, but it's very interesting the way this is going, and we don't know where it's going to end up.
So, go ahead.
A couple questions. How do the residents in your city educate? Is it homeschooling, or do they send them to private, or is it?
I would say most of the residents in my city do private schools.
Okay.
There's kind of a local school that's not public school. It's a Catholic school. And my family, for example, is not Catholic, but we know that all the rest of the kids go to this Catholic school from the neighborhood, and we send our kids to that Catholic school. It's a very educationally strong school.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of a, when you move into the neighborhood, if you have children, you sort of ask around, where are you sending your kids to school?
Yeah. Right.
And we get a lot of feedback that this is kind of a good place to send your kids, and everybody else goes there. So our kid gets kind of the benefits of a public school in the sense that everybody goes to the same place, but it's not a public school, and obviously we have to pay for it.
Right. So what is the theory on why the reduced funding level is suddenly the game plan that's the winner?
Everybody's wondering why. And then I think probably only Miss Nicastro knows the truth, but I think some of the speculation revolves around whether they're trying to time the lapsing of the school district. So according to the laws of Missouri, a school district lapses when they run out of money. There's other ways a school district can lapse, but it's one way that a school district can lapse is to run out of money. So there's some thought that the reason why they're asking for a lower funding level is they're trying to time the lapsing to happen at the end of the school year.
Okay.
Because they've seen how, I think DESE, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, has seen how people can really become upset if the idea is that the kids are going to have to transfer mid-school year,
right,
if there's some kind of real disruption and they're not going to be able to graduate, right, the graduating class.
Yeah.
And so I
can see parents being upset about that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's reasonable.
Yeah.
That if you have a kid that's a senior in high school and halfway through their senior year, and the idea is that something's going to happen that disrupts that, makes them go somewhere else, that's not a popular idea for anyone.
Right.
And so I think it's maybe a practical consideration for DESE to look at it and say, you know, it's not practical to lapse in the middle of the school year. Let's make sure the lapsing happens at the end of the school year. And so they're asking for maybe just enough money to get there.
Yeah.
So on the surface, it sounds like she's sabotaging, but really it might be the smart play in that situation.
Well, you know, I'm sure if you ask Ms. Nicastro, she's not sabotaging. She's trying to consider the best interests of the students.
Right.
And that's a...
ill-timed cough, sorry.
Or maybe well-timed cough. Right. So, you know, there is a lot of people, especially in my area, that I hear really don't buy into the idea that Ms. Nicastro is acting in the best interest of the students. But I would say that it's possible, and I'm sure she would argue, that what she's doing is trying to find a way to advocate for the best interests of students.
Yeah.
And to say that what's happening over the last 15, 20 years in the Normandy School District is not working.
Sure.
And yeah. So we need to kind of, you know, cut it down to the root and start over. And maybe start over, if you've looked at the composition of the transition board, which would take over Normandy School District should they lapse, there's representatives of the charter school movement in that group, and there's it's kind of a group that would really throw out the existing model, I believe, and try something different. And to me, I don't necessarily assign bad motives to Ms. Nicastro, but I would say that what she's trying to do is to change things in a radical way.
Right.
So, is there, you know, we talked about conspiracy theories. Is there a conspiracy here to promote something that might benefit somebody on a financial level,
right,
or is it really looking to find the best solution for the students and, you know, everybody involved?
I'm sure it depends on your viewpoint, but when you look at the idea that the school district might lapse and there might be a promotion of the idea of charter schools, that is kind of a conspiracy that's going around in the Normandy School District.
Yeah.
To say that we're going to all of a sudden be giving our tax money to a for-profit entity.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to be moving towards a different model than the public school model that is used in, I think, almost every area of St. Louis County now.
Sure.
Right.
And it is kind of radical, and it is, but I mean, it's your opinion whether it's a conspiracy or whether it's done in the best interest of the students.
How do you feel about charter schools?
And especially in the fact that you send your kids to a Catholic school, but not for the Catholic part, but really for the private school community part.
Yeah. That's a very interesting question. My wife is a very liberal person and has been in favor of public education for her whole life. And at this point right now...
Do you know her, Rob?
Yeah, we all get together on Tuesdays. All the liberals.
But at this point, she's almost kind of switched over in favor of a charter situation, because from a point of view of the homeowner in this district, our homes are very undervalued.
Right.
I live in a house... I grew up in Clayton, and I loved the houses where I grew up. And that was one of the reasons why I moved where I moved, is because these are like the beautiful houses where I grew up, yeah. only it was affordable.
Exactly.
And it's also, we're unable to see any value from our investments in our houses.
Yeah. Right.
Because the property values continue to be low. A lot of that has to do with the school district.
Indeed.
So when my wife looks at that situation, she's like, well, if Normandy does lapse, you know, maybe a charter school would not be a bad
right.
thing.
Right.
They yeah. could come into these beautiful buildings. Normandy has some right. excellent facilities, and maybe offer some things that bring new people into the area and cause maybe a renaissance of the area.
Indeed.
And I think that is a possibility, but it also has to be understood that there's many people who don't believe in that model. And so there's a great kind of divide in our area of
yeah.
whether the public school, traditional public school model is the way to go going forward, or whether it's this charter school thing might be a way to solve some of our problems and provide more opportunities for the kids that go there.
So is the idea that the charter school that might come into existence in that area would be forced to accept all kids in that area, kind of like, I mean, the Normandy School District has a mandate to accept every kid in that region, you know, is that...
Yeah, because that's the problem right now. Where do those kids go? There's, you know, talk about busing them into other districts, and
right.
the districts are kind
there's,
of throwing
more
up their
than
arms.
Talk about
more
that.
Than talk. I mean,
well,
that was the big controversy.
They've been busing them into Francis Howell.
Yeah, but here, some of those districts now are saying, well, there's too many of them, we can't afford to take them all.
Right.
Yeah, and the... And that's kind of what's spawned a lot of the discussion at the state level, is that because of the state law that said that a school district that is not accredited, the children have the option to be transferred
right.
into another school district, pay whatever that school district asked for in tuition, and have the non-accredited district pay for that. So that's kind of part of what's caused all this.
Sure.
That's like the big domino that fell and started knocking over the other dominoes.
Right.
Is that Normandy can't really afford to pay Clayton $22,000 per student when Normandy is taking in about $9,000 per student.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a...
Yeah, I guess it comes
down to... It's one of the most confusing things that I've ever seen because it has so many angles.
Right.
You know, you can look at it from the point of view of, you know, what would be the best thing for the kids? What would be the best thing for the region? What would be the best thing for the school district? Every question almost has a different answer.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's different from, I mean, as you pointed out, the district's pretty large. It covers several municipalities.
24.
And not all the municipalities are going to benefit in the same way.
Correct.
You know, one decision is not going to fit everybody necessarily.
If you look at Pasadena Hills, which is the city that I represent, that the impact of any changes is going to be a lot different from the municipalities around us, because almost nobody in my municipality sends their kids to
right.
Normandy Public
right.
Schools.
Right. So they don't care for the right. most
well,
part.
Well, they care,
they,
but it's not,
they care
not
in a different
way. Right.
They care because it affects our property
right.
values. It
right.
affects, and we would like to send our kids to public
sure.
schools if it was a good option.
Right.
But I live like one block away from a beautiful public school. A place that reminds me of the places I went when I was in Clayton. In fact, built by the same architect, William Itner. And I've gone in there and I've said, wow, this is just like my school. You know, the gym is in the same place.
Uh-huh.
The stage is
yeah,
in the same place
right.
at the end of the gym. The floors are the same. But that school currently performs below 1% of the national average on test scores.
Wow. Right. And so it's not facilities that's causing that.
Well, it's not facilities, but, you know, from the point of view of a homeowner or a resident, there's no practical aspect of sending your kid to that school.
Right. Yeah.
You
yeah.
can't do it
right.
because you don't want your kid to go to a school that's below 1% of the national
right.
average.
Right.
And yet, you're paying for that school, whether you send a kid there or not.
Right.
And one thing that's not well known in the St. Louis area is that we pay in the Normandy School District higher taxes than any district. Let me change that a little bit. Per student, the district receives more money than any district except for two. Clayton receives more money and Webster receives more money.
Really? Okay.
So a lot of people will look at the Normandy School District and say the answer is more funding, because obviously they have a lot of challenges.
Right. Yeah.
But when you look at them, they're pulling in more per student than any other school district.
And the facilities are good.
And we've talked about that on our show many times, that, you know, when education fails, everybody says the answer is throw more money at it. But we already spend more money per student than, like, any other country in the world. And, you know, the U.S. students rank consistently lower than, you know, many, many other countries.
50th.
Yeah.
But that's,
and if you look at our Catholic schools, we're charging, like, $4,000 to $6,000. And Normandy School District is pulling in, like, nearly $10,000 per student.
Right,
but see,
so where's the money
so
go?
So much less.
But all right, inject my own opinions into here. You said earlier that when you moved into the neighborhood, you asked around about where the best places to send your school, to send your kids, and what kind of people in the neighborhood were doing, and you kind of managed that with your budget and figured out what was best for your kids.
Sure.
The reason why that's working for you is that you have self-selected with other parents and families who have taken those same steps. And that's what makes that school good. I'm a Catholic guy, but it's probably not the Catholic part that's doing it. It's that $4,000 to $6,000 out of pocket that is forcing people to say, hey, what am I really paying for here? And I think that's what's making that school successful and not the other one.
Are you saying there's an investment at home?
Right.
Like
exactly, that's what I'm saying.
If this were free,
right,
maybe I don't put in the effort.
I don't care. Right. I just send my kid. Right.
There's also, I think, a level of involvement.
Exactly.
That's kind of
at.
Part of it.
That's what
so
at.
We spend, you know, $6,000 per kid to go to the Catholic schools. So we participate in the life of that Catholic school. We, you know, I participate in the men's club, even though I'm not Catholic.
I'm scratching his head.
Sports
that means
and everything else.
This is tough
it's
for
going
me.
Going against his right, liberal right, ways. Right. And he can't just, he feels it down his spine.
And I'm not the most liberal of liberals, but I do feel like, the issues you raised early on about the way the property values in your house, and you rehab a kitchen and your construction and you know how to do things, and that, like, that's all getting undermined by this whole property value, like, thing that the way the property values feed the district, and the district, you know, is where you send the kids. It's just so. It's. I think if you want to talk about why our students are failing worldwide, that I think that model is stupid. It's a very American kind of thing, and I think it's kind of dumb. And yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. Because I have the same feeling. I like went the opposite of you. I love my house, great house. Can't disparage it, but like it's just. Like, I'm not excited about the house I live in. I moved to that house because it was out in that district, and it was right by the elementary school. You know, that's the only reason. I like my house in South City way more than I like the house I'm living in now. But it was the self-selection of districts that made it all happen, and it's all backwards. It's just so screwed
What's
up.
Backwards is...
And you can either go your way with selecting the district and taking kind of a more expensive house that delivers you less in terms
right.
of house,
yeah.
Or you can self-select the other way, where you get a great house,
right.
and at the same time you have to pay for your education because
right.
you're not going to get it from public.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I will. I don't know if. This
or you can do what I did and select a district for great education and
you
pay
should
for
be
it and
where
not
I
use it.
You
I
should
have
be living where I live.
You should.
We've got some great houses. You should come visit Pasadena.
There
House.
You go. There. Maragino in the house.
Yeah, yes. Shameless plug.
Absolutely.
What kind
We've got
of
some of the most amazing
yeah.
houses right, right. in the area. If our houses were in Clayton, they'd be worth $500,000.
Yeah, right.
And they're very affordable for us, for a family
I'm good.
To move in there.
All right. You know, well, I appreciate that. I'm not moving. But
well, you haven't seen our houses. You
That's
should come
right.
look.
That's right.
We also have kind of a magic thing in St. Louis, which is something you don't see in almost any other neighborhood or municipality in the St. Louis area, and that we have a neighborhood that's very integrated, and that's something that Pasadena Hills can be very proud of. Looking across St. Louis, there's kind of a self-selection,
yeah.
You know,
self-segregation.
You look at St. Charles County,
yeah.
for example, you see a lot of people who moved out of North County and said, you know, that it's sort of integrated thing is not for us.
Right.
But our neighborhood has been integrated for 50 more or more years. We have some... as I grew up, let me give a different perspective. As I grew up in Clayton, the black people that I knew were working for the white people who lived
right.
near me.
Yeah, right.
And what my kid is growing up with is he lives in a neighborhood of African-American professionals.
Right.
Lawyers, doctors, ministers. And he has a kind of completely different perspective than I ever would have as a kid. So this is something that I think a neighborhood like Pasadena Hills offers that's very unusual in the St. Louis area and has the potential to really be an advantage to the people who grow up there.
Oh,
this is larger than
agree.
The education discussion, but why is that unusual? I think St. Louis has a larger problem. Well, it's not just St. Louis.
I feel St. Louis is uniquely screwed up in this area. I think what you're mentioning, there should be... I think in other cities, I get the feeling that there's more neighborhoods like yours.
I blame the Catholics.
Why?
Just because they don't get a rise out of you.
Yeah, all right. But yeah, it is unique in St. Louis. I completely agree with what you're saying.
Did he say... He didn't say it was unique yet, did he?
I think St. Louis is kind of uniquely screwed up in this way.
Okay,
if you look at St. Louis demographically, there's very little integration.
Yep.
There's a lot of concentration of poverty. There's concentration of races, and there's very little cross pollination of these things.
Right. Yeah.
And one thing that I see in my neighborhood is that it's a place where an integrated couple, for example, feels very comfortable.
Right.
Because it just fits. You know, you have a neighborhood that's not white, it's not black, it's kind of somewhere in the middle.
Right.
I think it'd be a difficult challenge for anybody to identify other neighborhoods in St. Louis where that's the case.
Oh, I agree.
Mike, I think I was trying to ask, why is that? No, I don't know that I said it. What about that area has made that happen? Why do you have professionals there?
Rob, quit interrupting.
Why is that working in Pasadena Hills?
It's very hard to answer that. I think we've been lucky in a lot of ways in that some of the areas around us have kind of have really had problems with that. You know, blockbusting and some things that happened during the 70s really affected a lot of the areas around us. But for some reason, our area kind of weathered that storm.
What does that mean? I'm not familiar with that term. So.
Blockbusting?
Yeah, I don't.
So what happened in the 70s a lot of times was that I grew up, before I moved to Clayton, we lived in a city called Hanley Hills.
Yeah.
And Hanley Hills, when I was a small child, was kind of a mostly white community.
Okay.
And at some point, there was a migration of African Americans into the community.
Yeah, yeah.
And what blockbusting was a sort of framework that the realtors worked under. And it would involve, if black people were moving into your neighborhood, they would kind of knock on your door and say, hey, guess what? Black people are moving into this neighborhood. Your property values are about to hit the shitter. You need to move. And we'll help you we'll help you market your property while the getting's good.
Yeah.
And, here,
buy
this
house,
is a good time
this
to
nice,
do it.
Expensive house for me.
And we can help you find a new house.
Yeah.
Where your money is going to, you know, keep you out of that sort of situation.
Right.
So this was something that happened across a lot of the St. Louis area, and I'm not sure that may fall into a conspiracy theory to some degree or another.
Rob will say that falls under capitalism, but
so Rob, are you familiar with Blockbuster?
The video store where you get the videos?
No, different type of Blockbuster.
Blockbuster.
What? No.
So what I was explaining was during the 70s, when I was a kid, you'd have these kind of borderline neighborhoods that were mostly white, and an African-American family or two would move into the neighborhood, and what you would have is a kind of weird dynamic where the realtors would knock on your door and say, hey, guess what? Your neighborhood's about to become a black neighborhood, and you should have us market your property while you can still get out of here. And so a lot of the... If you look back at the history of the St. Louis neighborhoods, you see where these neighborhoods would kind of all of a sudden become a different neighborhood. And so It's odd that Pasadena Hills survived that and remained an integrated neighborhood.
Right.
But if you look all around us, you see the neighborhoods that didn't didn't go through that so smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
We also had some weird, if you look at the history of Pasadena Hills, we had some weird like laws and stuff that were created to try to address the issue of blockbusting. Some of those today would be looked at in a very negative light.
Mm-hmm.
For example, all the properties in my neighborhood have an indenture. That's an agreement that you sign when you buy a house in Pasadena Hills. But it has some stuff that if you read it today, if any homeowner buying today would read it, they would be shocked.
Like what?
Racial restrictions. I believe the wording is you can't sell your house to mulatto or African American.
Oh,
it doesn't
wow.
say African American, but there's
right.
other words
right.
used to prevent the kind of selling of property
right.
to
right.
African Americans in reality.
Right.
That's what
yeah.
it's for. And those, interestingly enough, those indentures are still in place.
Yeah.
Even though they're not enforceable and they don't have a real application in today's reality,
mm-hmm.
that kind of maybe at some point was part of the strategy to prevent blockbusting.
Right. Hmm. Interesting. All right. Well, Gino, we really appreciate you talking to us about the issues in your city. And
can you be a permanent member of the podcast?
Yeah.
we
might have to have you on
libertarian
again.
Libertarian, and you could have a table that seats four.
Oh,
I'd be willing to
in.
Work
we'll
with you guys.
Up a new banner.
Absolutely.
I don't work for the company that you guys all work for that I'm not supposed to mention the name of. But
that's fine.
But maybe be a good fit. Who knows?
Yeah. We'd love to have you on again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me, and it's been a pleasure talking with you guys.
All right.
All right.
And hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.